listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I came into this world high as a bird. From secondhand cocaine powder, I know it sounds absurd. I never tooted, but it's in my veins. While the rest of the country bungees our bridges without no snapback and bitches. They say they need that to shake their fannies in these ass clubs. They go the other route, turn each other out, burn each other out. Where a bona fide nigga like me can't even get no back rub these days. Ain't that bleak on their part? But let me hold it down, because they shut you down when you speak from your heart. Now that's hard. While we ranting and raving about gas. Nigga, they made them gas. They got some shit that'll blow out your back from where they stay at. Hey! Welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on the Saturday afternoon.
Yes sir.
Ready to discuss your feedback.
What
do I mean by your feedback? I mean all the stuff you guys have to say about the things that we had to say throughout the week. You can leave feedback by leaving voicemails at 704-557-0186. Make sure they're 2 minutes or less, the machine cuts you off. 704-557-0186. You can also do stuff like vote in our polls, the blackguywhotips.com is where our episodes and our polls are. Each episode you can leave comments, and each episode has a poll. You can leave comments on your vote in the poll. It's crazy like that. You can also email us, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. We read those. We got a lot of Game of Thrones emails this week. Not a lot of just regular feedback this week. That's fine. You can also leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We really love when people do that. And we love it so much, indeed, that if you leave a nice 5-star review, we will read it on the show. And you guys left plenty of them this week, and we thank you.
We do.
What am I missing? Is that all the ways you can feedback? Oh, you can also give money to the show. You can just go to theblackguywhotips.com on the right-hand side. Donate to the show. Just like that. Boom. Just sign up, and I give it one time. You can do recurring donations. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. As a matter of fact, we give them a shout out and for the offerings and tithes that they are giving.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. New day. New dinero. Cedric the Entertainer W, thank you very much. Malinike, I will appreciate your recurring donation as well. We got a one-time donation from Cassie F. Thank you, Cassie. We also got a recurring donation from Preston, who is Team Dro. Never forget. We got a one-time donation from Rebecca M, who leaves a message as well, says, so happy to have found your show and wanted to keep my support. Wanted to show my support. Keep making great content, Rebecca. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, baby.
We appreciate you.
We do.
We got our brand new recurring donator from Erna L. Thank you, Erna.
Hey, baby. Go to the new members class.
Go to the new members class. We appreciate all the people signing up. Okay. Thank you. We need it. James G. Thank you, James. Monica T. We appreciate you, Monica. Calvin, I hope everything's going good with the McDonald's. Thank you.
Me too.
Gerard L, thank you, Gerard. Tyrone M, thank you, Tyrone. Lanika M, I think that might be a new one. I don't think I heard that name before.
Mm-mm.
Jason F, thank you, Jason. Terry W, appreciate you, Terry. Eric, who is shout out to FSU. Attitude Check.
Franco Pride.
Come on, you know. Waste Bees by Sewer, thank you so much. Jasmine A, we appreciate you. Alexander M, thank you. Dastri J, thank you as well. Michael I, thanks Mike. Mary H, thank you Mike, Mary. Deborah O, appreciate you. Rachel H, thank you. Omot A, thank you Omot. Jonathan W, Janine R. Who else we got here? Stefan H, thank you Stefan, we appreciate you as well. Our girl Shanna B. Jonathan H, thank you so much. I make mistakes. Jeff M, thank you Jeff, we appreciate you. Corey B, thank you Corey. Andy S, thank you Andy. Our man Mr. Span of the Span Report podcast, and that is everybody. Play me out.
You look so much better with your smile.
Let's go.
Smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever. whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
All right. Let's get into our 5-star reviews. We got a few on iTunes, none on Stitcher, I don't believe. Although I didn't check for the movie review podcast, which I guess I should have done. I'll try to come back to that if I can remember.
Okay.
All right. But let's talk about the 5-star reviews people left on iTunes. To leave us a 5-star review, you can get the iTunes program on your computer. You can do, if you have an Apple device, you can go to iTunes on that. And you can leave us a 5-star review. It says leave a review, put 5 stars, write a little something, no cursing, no profanity, because it does censor things. And I mean, it censors stuff like, it censors the word vagina, okay? So
but I'm not just, dick.
Yeah, but not dick. Just letting you guys know, not penis either. That's that's the medical term, vagina, and they still censor that. So anyway, you guys can leave those 5-star reviews. It takes a couple of days normally before they show up. So if we don't read it, but you have sent it, you know, just make sure you didn't leave any cuss words and just wait a couple of days. It'll pop up. Stitcher, you can leave reviews on that as well. Their review process is you need to go to the website, to do it. You really can't leave it on their app. So you have to go to stitcher.com, search for the Blackout Tips podcast, scroll down, wait a couple of seconds. It'll pop up with a thing that says write a review, at the bottom of the screen, and you write a review. It's that easy. Now let's get to your iTunes reviews. My favorite podcast by Young Guap CPA. Thank you, Young Guap. 5 stars, of course. I would like to apologize to Pastor Rod and First Lady Karen. I have been a faithful member of the Church of the Black Autist for the last 6 years, but this is my first 5-star review. While I am not a completely useless member of the congregation I have been premium for the last 3 years, this is a glaring oversight. I get my news almost exclusively from this podcast because Rod and Karen are possibly the most sincere and honest social commentators on the internet. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, baby.
I appreciate the infusion of comedy into what seems like an increasingly depressing news landscape. If I could give them 10 stars, I would. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You right on time, baby.
Yeah, I love this part of the show. Like, honestly, I look forward to feedback every week.
Me too.
Because it's really, it's easy to get caught up in the negativity out there. It's mm-hmm. easy. There's all kinds of people that listen to shows they don't really like. They listen, I mean, we're no exception. And when you stumble upon the people that, you know, don't fuck with you, or they wanted to go out of their way to let you know they don't fuck with you.
Right.
You know, you can get bogged down in that negativity and you forget about, like, wait a minute, we're doing great. There's a lot of people that support us.
A lot of people that love us.
You know, the show continues to, like, blow up, you know, slowly but surely. And it's not even like we're chasing after some illustrious version of, like, fame or anything.
Yeah,
but
we don't even know what the final transformation gonna be.
Yeah, so it's just kind of cool to have this journey and experience it with so many people that fuck with us. So thank you so much for these type of reviews. And it's never late. I know you said it was 3 years. You were premium. You've been listening for 6 years. Whenever you leave a 5-star review, it's dope with us. And we just hope more people are encouraged to leave theirs, man. Because like I said, the negativity never takes a day off. But the positivity, you know, you want to keep that going as well. Y'all Make My Day by Coach Chloe Nutt, who says 5 stars, especially my Wednesday when I'm watching Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and something happens on the show. I'll be like, I can't wait to hear what Rod and Karen got to say. I love your feedback. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we try to do a little different, try to do something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was thinking about too with Game of Thrones, you know, there's people that only listen to that show. That's mm-hmm. fine with us.
Oh yeah, we don't mind that at all.
Yeah, like that. Like, I think people will be like, oh, I only listen to Game of Thrones, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, we do a lot of stuff here at the show. You guys don't even, like, if you don't know what's behind the paywall, like, we're not trying to make it a show where everybody listen to every single episode and they're always caught up. That's cool if you want to do it. I have shows I do like that.
I'm saying,
you know, Keith and the Girl is one. It comes on 5 days a week and I'm premium and I'm all that shit and I listen to everything they do. But not, you know, not every show is going to be like that for people.
Right.
You come in, you come out. It's like a radio show, right? You don't let, you know, if you listen to Tom Joyner Morning Show, you don't be like, I missed Tuesday's show, I'm so sorry. Mm-mm. Hey, it'll be a show on Wednesday. It'll be all
right. Right.
Anyway, thank God for the black guy, for TBGWP. I don't know what the P stand for. Blurdy Girl says, people. Five stars. The Black Guy Who Pees. Black Guy Who Podcast. I found your podcast after the Viceland interview. My sister and I listened to your Game of Thrones recast, and we laughed our behinds off. I'm sad that Game of Thrones is ending, but happy to have found Rod and Karen. Well, thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, and a small percentage of people that listen to Game of Thrones reviews will stay for the rest of the shit, mm-hmm. you know? And that's dope if people want to, or at least they're aware of us and they can check in from time to time.
Right.
Know? And yeah, it's kind of sad that it's ending, but low-key, I'm kind of looking forward to it being over to have some finality to everything and be like, cool, you know, like we did that thing.
Yes,
it was fun.
I know how it ends,
you know. There's a lot of pressure and work associated with making those reviews hot as they are, you know. Content is coming, put five stars on it. Five stars. This is Alicia Liv, who says five stars. I found y'all through a Facebook group I'm in for internet cousins, and I'm so glad a cousin posted your podcast.
Oh,
I work multiple jobs, so I definitely understand that feeling. So I love y'all. I most love y'all because of the amount of content you produce is astounding to me. Black excellence is here. I'm a fan for life. Y'all are so refreshing. Thank you for keeping me informed on news and laughing on recaps. Thank you. You know, one of the things that I think people don't appreciate, man, is there has to be variety to this landscape of black podcasts or podcasting in general. Every podcast can't be the same.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I think there's traditional formats that fit people's schedules and other people, but nobody ever thinks about the people that aren't being served. So like everybody ideally in their mind, because it was created by white people, and most black people, when they're doing something creative, not most people in general, when they're doing something creative, they just copy what white people are doing, and they're like, that's what this industry is. And so most people think a podcast is something less than an hour that happens once a week, and that's it. And you don't think about it much, so you just kind of keep creating the same thing white people have been doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're good at it and you can make it happen, cool.
Right.
But for most of the shows that do that, I mean, and it takes a lot of time to do what we do, but for most of the shows that do that, you're not going to separate yourself from the pack anyway. So you might as well do what's true to yourself if that's something you can do. You know, with us, we organically grew this show to 5 days a week, premium right. stuff, all that. Yeah, we lost some listeners along the way, but we gained some as well. But with the biggest thing to me is that we're true to ourselves and we don't compromise our vision. And if people fuck with the show, that mean they really do fuck with us, because this is us. You know, and I don't know that it'll always be able to be that way. You know, things might happen. We might have to reduce the number of shows. I'm enjoying this journey while we can, because if something happens and the show is like bought by somebody or we get hired by somebody,
right,
it's not gonna be the same.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I think people don't appreciate that shit, you
right.
know.
They don't appreciate, like, it's almost like magic happens in front of people and people don't appreciate the magic till it's gone.
Yeah, appreciate your freedom while you got it, man.
Come
like
on.
I've been in the wake of that, the Dem Thrones thing, people have been hitting up our inbox and all this type of things. But also in the wake of that, there's been a lot of people who are like, you know, we want to see this blackness brought into the mainstream. And that's cool. I think, you know, I don't know why so much of this stuff that is white media just does not really hire black people and shit. Mm-mm. But it's not really a dream of mine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wary of that type of attention and that type of setting, because then your show has to not be focused on just black people or just on yourself, and it becomes, can we make this joke? It becomes
right,
you know, it becomes like a product that, you know, has different limitations on it, and you may not be able to have the same formats and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily excited about all that shit. I think it's hard for people to fathom that,
right,
because most of us have been, you know, codified to be like, yeah, this is how you should feel about this. You're getting this level of attention, this is great, you're getting this level of success, this is great. But I don't know, man, I can only be happy with the things I'm happy with, and that's not necessarily something I think would make me happy necessarily. You know, not saying I'd be against it, but just in general, it's not something I think would make me happy. So I kind of like that we are able to be like a place where black people are being like, hey, check out this podcast, I think you will like it. And folks is like in the Facebook group like, yeah, I'm gonna check this shit out, like, this is dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to enjoy that as long as we can.
the same, because there have been podcasts that I've listened to and people have grown and people have evolved. Because I remember with Bomani Jones and The Morning Jones, I loved that show, but that show was something special and it can never be duplicated. And I literally sat at my desk and cried when the last episode aired, because I knew that this right here was the end of something special.
Yeah, that was the sweet spot.
Right.
The Morning Jones was the sweet spot. It was like a family of people that just really liked one thing and one person and talked about sports and all, and it was creative and it was fun and avant-garde. And at the same time, as you blow up, you lose a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Now it's not a family no more. Now it's not, you know, it's not the same. You can't call in to the High Noon, you know? And so I think people, you know, maybe you got to cherish that as much as you cherish all the other shit.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with blowing up and doing those things, but like you say, the bigger you get, you have to, things change and you can't duplicate the same thing.
Yeah, so not that any of that stuff is on the horizon. I'm just letting y'all know, like, I just thought about that this morning and was like, yo, I'm fucking appreciative,
very thankful.
Like, I read, what happened was I read an article, and the article was about basically, like, why aren't black people being brought into these mainstream media outlets who capitalize off of black work, right? So you got stuff like the Game of Thrones is out there, like, oh, them Thrones, black people are making making this trend every Sunday, so why aren't they hiring black people to discuss Game of Thrones and stuff like that? And like, to me, I feel like I feel conflicted on it. I'm not as like gung-ho about like, yeah, HBO, come hire me so I can talk about this shit. Cause I'm actually thinking to myself, like, what will they not want me talking about? Like, what joke do they not want me to say? What song do they not want me to play? What guest do they not want me to have? What thing are they going to limit my format by? And these are compromises that I think people make all the time for money. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But I don't think that that is the height of what the creative expression is for the recaps that we do. The height of our creative expression is actually what we're doing right now. It's not going to get more freer than this. Like, it's just going to get less and less as you get more and more attention. So I don't know, it's just something to think about, man. You know, I keep thinking back to those fucking Facebook comments that were first on that video when Vice put it up, and how offended white people were about it. Just the notion that black people wanted to kick it.
Yeah, because white people gonna white at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's something that's real too, once you become more visible to white people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is to get in front of the eyes of white people, which I understand, because white people got the money, but when you deal with white people, you got to deal with their bullshit that comes along with it too.
Yeah, it's a trade-off, and I don't want to trade the attention for the wrong, I don't value that type of attention that much.
Right.
Not to the point where you, because there's, you know, obviously there's white people that don't care about that and they're cool as shit and they don't give a fuck.
Agreed.
But the fact that every time you level up, it's more eyes on you trying to figure a way out to shit on you, you know? So it's just kind of like an interesting trade-off I was thinking about.
Yeah, and it's a part of the process. And, you know, everybody has to deal with that in their everyday 9-to-5 life all the time.
Yep. Last one. This is from John Smith, 1787, says, hilarious and thoughtful, 5 stars. My spouse turned me on to this and I love it, even though I'm politically conservative. Wow. Yeah, that is pretty amazing. I won't lie. I didn't think any conservative people listen to this shit.
Same.
And I would, you know, I mean, you might fuck around and get woke by accident, man.
You might slip and fall and be like, oh shit.
Yeah. Then what you gonna do? You gonna start having empathy and seeing other people's concerns and shit? You gonna be all fucked up in the matrix, homie.
What's happening?
You gonna fuck around and be like, I was actually thinking about them undocumented children the other day. But anyway, thank you for your 5-star reviews. I didn't see any for spoiler movie reviews. Let's get into the comments on our website. You can find our website, theblackguywhotips.com. Leave comments on each episode. Last time we had a feedback show was 1888. Pushing Positivity was the name of it. CC says, hello darlings, just a quick one. Gina Yashir kind of explained it well to me about British actors coming over. Know about their BAFTA awards? Well, in her words, BAFTA, black actors fuck off to Africa, is what that means.
Oh.
Anti-blackness is a fucking global thing. The better those ADOS fucks get it, the better, I guess. The better being pro-black by being anti-black, my ass. Oh, okay. The better those ADOS fucks get it, the better. Being pro-black by being anti-black, my ass. Yeah, ADOS is African Descendants of Slaves movement. I don't know if this movement's been around forever. I don't know if it's new. I think it kind of hit a resurgence maybe around the beginning of this year with the whole, like, we're going to ask politicians about reparations thing that a lot of black, like, people are promoting. But somehow it's kind of being co-opted by, like, the Hotep people. Like, you know, I think Tariq Nasheed's really promoting that heavy. And also it's kind of being co-opted by, like, Russian bots who are trying to sow discord among black voters and Democratic candidates. So it's become the litmus test for all kinds of candidates. Obviously, means to an end. I don't care that it's really started by whoever the fuck. I hope all the candidates have to answer questions about reparations. Other than that, you know, we'll see what their answers are. I don't really think we're going to get a solution this go around, but
and I think that's my thing. We're not going to really get a solution, and it's one of those things. Not that those things will never a lot of people have hope that eventually those things will push forward, and I understand that, but for me, and I'm not, it's not a dismiss when I say this, but I'm like, okay, that's cute, but these are the real issues that are actually at hand that we can actually affect right now. Like, some of these things that you're bringing up will take years of research and development, you know, like it's not something that can instantly happen overnight. Somebody can't strike a pen and the law was passed.
Yeah, we'll get started.
Right, that's all I ask.
I mean, they talking about starting. I mean, Cory Booker wants to do an evaluation to see, like, basically you have to study, like, the damage that was done to black people, the monetary financial damage, and then you, after you have a committee that does that, then you start thinking of solutions, and you have to find the most palpable solutions that people will accept that help black people, you know. That being said, like CC brought up, it's become co-opted by just, like, this weird anti-blackness of we hate Africans and black people from, like, to a brought to America through, you know, slavery, chattel slavery. It's like we need to separate ourselves from every other type of black person to point out that our specific needs are different, which I do understand. Our specific needs are different, but then they've turned it into, I don't want to see, like, African people playing black people on screen that were American slaves. And I'm like, that I don't go that far with it.
I don't either.
Look into reparations, cool. The rest of the shit I don't really care about, and I'm just not trying to join the diaspora wars, and I mean that, like. And if African people are saying some foul, slick shit about us, I'm not really interested in fighting with them either. I just ignore those motherfuckers and don't fuck with them. And, you know, and I don't have anything slick to say about Africans because I really wasn't raised around African people to love or / hate them in any type of way, because that's not my experience in America to be like, these motherfuckers think they better than me or whatever. So there you go. Phil G says, hello. The gratuitous person of blackness. I want to say another great Medium talk with Kareem Taylor. So much information that I had not known of. I grew up in Beaumont, Texas, with a great petroleum plant. Giant petroleum plant less than 5 miles from my mother's house and the college of the city. I never paid any attention to it, but you do notice that the two neighborhoods that are closest to the area are predominantly people of color. It wasn't until I joined the military and a good friend of mine went to the local college that I learned that the college would send out warnings for the students that the city never sent out, stating that the plant had a venting or something going on that would pollute the air and that the students should stay indoors or wear protective covering to avoid breathing in the air. So the school cared enough about its students, but the city didn't care about its residents to give out a warning. Damn.
Yeah, I believe that, because, yeah, think about it, man. power plants, nuclear power plants, mm-hmm. Dumps,
cell phone towers.
Yes, all this stuff that put out radiation, toxic shit, shit that could go into your water. Really think about where these things are located and what's located the closest to it.
America the beautiful, I guess. I feel lucky to have made it without any major breathing issues, but it's sad that this is how we are treated in this country, and now I'm more informed with how to combat that if I get the chance. Thanks for the content, Karen and Rod. Thanks, Phil.
Oh, you're welcome. It was so funny. Everybody clean air, but you know what? You fucked the air up for the poor people. Everybody is gonna be fucked up. We all gonna eventually be breathing the same air. People are stupid.
Yeah, people just happy. Rich people, people with money, people with means, classes, and all that stuff. They just happy to die second. I mean, that's really all environmentalism
die
is.
Die second.
Or anti-environmentalism is, because it's not like you don't live in the same planet. You just literally just are happy as long as everybody die before you do. Will Trump be impeached? Yes or no?
No.
87% of the audience agrees with you, Karen. 13% says yes. Brooklyn Shoebay says, I don't think Trump will be held accountable for anything. And if someone tries, the Republicans will circle around to protect him because all they care about is winning at any means.
Yes, 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 yes. He's not going to step down. I even think if he loses, they'll probably have to fight and get lawyers to get his ass to leave the White House because he's going to claim it's a scam. Like, just him leaving is going to be a big old mess. I can see him trying to pass a law to say that he could run again. Like, bullshit like that.
CT says, I agree with Brooklyn Shoe Babe. Trump won't be held accountable for shit. We got a solid 20 months before we might see the light at the end of the tunnel. I just want some sensible people to come up with a plan of action for the next president to take over in 2021, please. Yep, that's basically how I feel. I don't think we're getting the righteous vengeance that everybody seems to think is coming. You know, everybody's like, oh yeah, well, I shouldn't say everybody. A lot of people seem to really be banking on this impeachment thing. And the thing is with impeachment, it doesn't mean that you're ousted.
No, it does not.
Like, I think it was, Clinton was impeached, he just didn't resign. Nixon was impeached and he did resign. So it's not, you know, the catch-all that a lot of people seem to think it is, where it's just like, yeah, impeach that motherfucker, now he gotta go home. Like, not
yeah,
really.
It don't work like that, because if one piece do it, you know, because the Senate and the Congress agree on this shit, so if one person say do it and the other half say no, nothing's gonna fucking happen.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if they agreed, even right. In a magical world where they did impeach the president, we are talking about a president that just goes, I lie for a living, I'm not recognizing anything you guys have to say, fuck y'all. And then what you gonna do?
Right.
You know, so that's the thing. He's like, people keep thinking he would have the decency to resign. I'm like, I'm not sure that's gonna happen.
No, he don't abide by rules. Rules mean nothing to him.
Speaking of Medium Talk, I did forget to read this, but we got one comment on that episode of Medium Talk, which was episode 42. We act for environmental justice. I put it on the website. I put it on the regular feed for everybody as well. Emails 316 says, really enjoyed this Medium Talk. It was informative and really painted a full picture of how environmental issues impact all issues we often march and hashtag about. I like the Medium Talks in general for providing these insights on topics I typically wouldn't find interesting. Thank you. That's the whole point.
Thank you.
Episode 1889. Welcome to the cookout, George Lucas. We had some comments. Let's see. Raven says, I'm at the part where y'all talking about Bill Cosby's insurance complaint, and the fact that y'all called it rape insurance has me dying. I work for a commercial insurance company, and to answer your question, yes, this does exist. It's called sexual abuse and molestation coverage.
What?
And is a common form of coverage that can be added to a business's liability insurance. Wow. So how does that meeting go? Because I feel like if I'm at a meeting for my business, and the insurance guy is like, well, now that we covered that liability insurance, I was wondering if you'd be interested in some rape and molestation insurance coverage.
Rape and molestation.
Like, why would y'all, yeah, you know, you need that sexual abuse coverage, you know, just looking at how you run your business, yeah. You might want to sign up.
I'm looking at Buddy over there. He looked like he wants to grab titties and ass. You might want to sign on the dotted line.
Who brings that up first?
who brings it up?
Does Bill Cosby have people, and then his people are the ones who conduct insurance, but before they leave for the meeting, Bill Cosby's like, could you look into some rape insurance for me? I might need that. I mean, for neither here nor there. I mean,
just in case, you know, just in case your house burned down, you always get fire insurance.
Yeah, let's get flood insurance and then throw in a little rape insurance in there.
Mm-hmm, throw it in. Yeah, go ahead and throw in that gap insurance. You know, it's a form of gap insurance. Like when you buy a new car, they don't tell you that most people need gap insurance because if your car is ever totally lost, you're not going to get back the true value of the car. But a lot of people don't get the gap insurance. Then they wreck the car and they're on for a car that they can't drive. So they was like, just in case.
In my experience, I've only seen this coverage included for CEOs and other authority figures of a corporation to protect the company's liability against these types of claims from employees, e.g. an employee accuses a manager of rape, etc. But it's likely that Bill has this type of coverage because he is a wealthy self-employed entertainer. Yeah, I wonder how many other wealthy self-employed entertainers have this exact insurance. Personally, I was disgusted when I started working at my company and discovered this coverage exists, but it makes sense when you think about all the settlements companies have to pay out when they get sued. There's actually as a big company, I could kind of understand, because you don't know what your employees are going to do individually, so I have to protect myself against anything one of these stupid motherfuckers could do.
Yeah,
right?
I don't want
to
pay out of pocket.
But
when
it's Bill Cosby Inc., it feels a little different. There's actually a budget set aside for this type of stuff. Oh, I know. We talked about it during the Harvey Weinstein thing. Sorry this is so long, but I rarely get to flex my insurance knowledge skills. Love y'all and the show.
Thank you.
Law says, hey, Rod and Karen. I'm glad y'all covered John Singleton. He was showing us things that the mainstream America doesn't understand. He showed America the human side of these misunderstood people. It's a shame that his messages are seen as a myth until CNN is covering something that runs parallel to events in these movies, though.
Right.
I also had no idea about rape insurance, but I'm not shocked. There was slave insurance in this country too. Yep. Mm-hmm. Go to the nigga museum. They got it. There's probably insurance for every situation where somebody of authority can get off on some heinous crime, no pun intended. Anyway, everything's corrupt, like that Ice Cube album. Stay ready. Thanks, Law.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said about John Singleton, because, you know, I was just thinking about his movies, man. People talk about toxic masculinity and all that type of shit, and, you know, a lot of brothers get up in arms at the idea of even bringing this kind of shit up.
Come on.
But the movie Baby Boy was literally just only about that. It was literally just about the oppression that black men feel and the infantilization of black men via their parenting, you know, either the lack of fathers in the home, the overprotective mothers, or mothers that just literally are just overbear, they just have too much on their plate to be able to raise a complete human being by themselves. They do the best they can, but there's just life is also kicking their ass too, and then, you know, that cycle continuing and that plight constantly like coming up and being surrounded by death and police and the way that we treat our women and the way we treat each other. I mean, that's what that movie's about. It just isn't called toxic masculinity, and niggas swear by that movie. Like,
come, that's their jam.
People are like, you know, love is in like a cult classic type of love. I know there's a lot of people that think that movie's kind of silly, and we laugh at the traumatic parts like we do with all gallows humor, but
of course
he was speaking on this shit without speaking on this shit through the movies. And I don't know, just feel like we really lost somebody special that people were able to kind of laugh off as over the top. But now you look at those movies and it's like, I mean, he wasn't too far off.
No, he
from
was not.
From a lot of the shit we're talking about right now. Paula writes in, I couldn't tell at first if y'all were joking or not when y'all talking about rape insurance. I need to see if this kind of coverage exists in Canada. How do you get rape insurance anyway? You go into the office and say, I've got a new car I need to insure, and I might look into some rape insurance too? Right. Right. Like, that seems like when you buy porn at the video store. I know I'm dating myself. You guys are too old to remember this.
Yes, porn.
It seems like when you have porn at your local video store and you go in, they have a porn section, but you always have to buy like two movies that got nothing to do with porn so you can get Booty Talk 38.
Mix it in with everything else.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, Terms of Endearment. I really want to check that out. I guess I'll see Die Hard 3. Didn't see that one in the theater yet. and all that ass seven. Yeah, that should do it for today. Is that what is getting rape insurance? I need car insurance, home insurance, and why don't we throw some rape insurance in there? But really, you know, you came in there for rape insurance because you're a motherfucking rapist.
Yeah, let me get tornado, earthquake insurance. Yeah, I might be doing some raping on the side, but add that in there too.
Yeah, so you go into your office and say, oh yeah, I mean, what does the insurance agent say to that? If I worked there, I would be telling everyone I know that motherfucker just bought rape insurance so the ladies can get themselves some non-rape insurance. Mind blown. Also, Karen, I've known lots of white women named Mercedes, but they were all strippers.
That makes sense.
Gothic Intellect says, so regarding the Jay-Z gentrification comments, I disagree with what he said, not because he's rich or that I don't personally like him. That's Beyonce's husband, and Beyonce makes no mistakes. I disagree. I disagree because it reinforces classism in our community. Oh, I'm so glad you wrote in about this, because I actually wanted to go back on this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about with this Jay-Z shit. Yes, I'd much prefer to have black landlords to the white ones, but some black people are just as ruthless towards the working class as anyone else. My parents' generation still demonizes people on government assistance as being lazy, good for nothing, despite either they or their loved ones use it responsibly. Jay-Z is advocating for trickle-down economics, the nigga edition. I think y'all are addressing the hot takes and reactions on Twitter, which are usually from left field, so I mostly agree with y'all. I would love to hear both you and Karen's thoughts on how to uplift and protect lower class in our community without depending on the empathy of the middle and upper classes, which may or may not appear. To be clear, I agree that it'll address the racist aspect of the problem, but it doesn't address the exploitation of the poor. Here's the problem I think I have with what you're saying. At no point was Jay-Z like, and then start taking advantage of the other black people in the neighborhood the way white people do. That was not what he said. And I think this is kind of like the thing I had with Twitter, where it's like people have to assume the worst of him in order to make the disagreement. Because when it was Nipsey just a couple weeks ago, nobody was writing in like, well, I disagree with Nipsey because ownership in the black community doesn't really change anything, because you just gonna be exploiting the poor. That's like Nipsey's thing was, no, now you have heart here and you're coming. The kind of people that we want to have ownership within this community are black people who care about the community. That's the whole freestyle that Jay-Z said. It starts literally with like, because you care about your community, you need to come in and then reinvest in your community. And people just got caught up on the word gentrify, and then they're like, y'all gonna relocate black people, y'all gonna raise their rents, y'all gonna, and to me that's like saying I don't know, when Beyonce made Formation, the people that were like, well, what she's really saying is that that white people is da da da. It's like, no, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, you have to assume the worst in order to be offended by what she said. I don't think he at any point implied black ownership be like white ownership.
No.
I think he implied that black ownership, because we care about our community, should be different than other ownership. Like, it should be a revitalization, a reinvestment into the areas of the community that you care about, because you care about the actual people there. You know? So it's not, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not just about coming in and being like, I'm gonna be a landlord that is like a corrupt abuser of the poor. And I think the fact that you inserted that, the fact that so many people inserted that into his rap, it bothers me, because I'm like, for me personally, I feel like he should have to say that. For me to take it that way, I would need to see the bar in the line where it was like, and now watch us do the same thing to everybody else, you know. And I'm bringing the lyrics back up so I can look at them in the background, because I'm like, maybe I'm missing it and there's bars in there like that, and y'all can write in with the specific, like, when he said this line, this is when I saw that what he was advocating was really about, you know, just shitting on black people, but black people doing it to each other. But that's not what I saw. And I think also, to answer your other question about, like, how do we help the poor out without black people that are poor, without it being about empathy from the middle and upper classes, you don't. You can't. It's literally impossible. It is going to take some empathy from some people with means.
Come on.
To help people that don't have means and nobody gives a fuck about them. That's kind of the only solution. There's not like another solution where it's like somebody gotta give a fuck.
Somebody somewhere.
You know, somebody that's gotta help,
and have the means to help.
Right. So, and yeah, looking at these lyrics, like, I hate to go through all this shit again. I know people like, y'all already did this, but let's do it. Gentrify your own hood before these people do it. Claim eminent domain and have your people move in. That's a small glimpse into what Nipsey was doing for anyone that's still confused as to what Nipsey was doing. The neighborhood is designed to keep us trapped. They redline us so property declines if you live by blacks. They depress the asset and take the property back. It's a ruthless but genius plan. In fact, now I don't feel like he's saying, so that's what we need to do to each other. I feel like he's saying like, this is what makes us feel like we're against each other. But if we were the people that were owning our property, investing in our property, had our assets go appreciate instead of depreciate, we wouldn't feel this need to be at each other's backs and to fight with each other. And he says that in the next line. So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in a barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel, and they ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gonna act like we act. We can easily get out of the barrel if we stand on each other's backs. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they gonna pull everybody out. I was doing just that. I told neighborhood Nipsey, stay close. There's $100 million on your schedule, stay lay low. Tell your team to be on point in the places that they go. I never dreamed that he'd get killed in the place that he called home. How we gonna get in power if we kill the source? Y'all like to run off on the plug, so of course that ain't lit. That's a means to an end. Me and my team was playing the plug ahead of a plan. Sometimes we was only making $1,000 a joint. They ain't no money, but that ain't the main point. And he talks about the bricks and shit. But my thing for the part about Nipsey and all that stuff is he's modeling Nipsey as the ideal here. So to me, to say he's just saying go in and manipulate the black people that are there so that you can kind of like get over on them because fuck them poor people, that's not true, because Nipsey was a man of the people. Everybody who has talked about him since, right, it was about revitalizing his neighborhood. It was about compassion. He got killed literally going to get clothes for a brother that had just got out of prison. You know, it was more about like, we are black, so we would look out for each other while we expect white people not to. This is not to say every black person that has ever owned something is a good person and they're gonna look out. Right. This is not what I'm saying, but we're talking about what he was encouraging in this rap. Jay-Z was not encouraging some abuse. Like, I just don't see it. He's not just saying trickle down economics, like I'm rich and then you gonna get rich. To me, he's saying like, I'm going to not oppress you. Like, my job is not to get rich by making you by making you more poor. White people in a lot of cases get rich by making us more poor, you know, and to me that's what he's saying. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that's what he was saying in the freestyle. Maybe we just, you know, disagree, and that's fine. But I did not find it to be the classism in the community type of thing, because the thing is, class already is a problem in America. It already exists.
Yes, it does.
So to then approach this thing as if that's not a thing that would matter in the solution is such a denial of where the problem is, that I don't know how you solve something that you won't even kind of express the problem. Like, to me, it's like when white people say there is no privilege, and I'm like, nah, you do have privilege. I want you to help use it to fix and make things an even playing field. You know, I don't want you to get to the top and be like, well, I just don't believe in class. I just don't believe in privilege. I don't want to reinforce that. So I'm not going to do shit for nobody with all my resources. I think poor people just need to figure it out on their own. Like, nah, you know, what if reinforce the classism to me is Steve Harvey saying, the best thing you do for a poor person is not be one of them. That's the kind of thing that people were reacting like Jay-Z said that. And that's not what he said.
Mm-mm.
So but like I said, I appreciate you writing in, and I just respectfully disagree with that being the message of his rap. Do you want to see Jesse get his job back? Yes. I don't really care either way, or hell nah. Karen?
Yes.
18% of the audience agrees with you. 10% says hell nah, they don't want him to get his job back. And 71% says they don't care either way. Pia says, I do not care if JS keeps or loses his gig. Also, I'm confused by folks who rail against Jay-Z's gentrification rap, but also talk about how we need black-owned XYZ. Make it make sense. They also romanticize about Black Wall Street. Combat Jack, rest in peace, talked about buying property in his old neighborhood for that very reason. I'm tired. Yeah, man, and it's weird because I can kind of understand that people just have a problem with Jay-Z and they're not going to fuck with him because of anything he says.
Agreed.
I don't understand how that freestyle would have made people be like, fuck Jay-Z, or what. I just don't get it. I don't find what was offensive in that freestyle. And I'm, you know, like I said, I talked to my homie about it and everything, and, you know, and I didn't come in there on some like, man, I'm going to argue with you. But I was just like, explain to me why this is so fucked up. Cause I'm not getting it, and I don't want to be a person that just doesn't get it, you know, but I really don't see what was fucked up about that. I think a lot of black people have been looking for solutions to this kind of thing.
Yes, they have.
And black people of means, I feel like it's such a fucked up thing we do to black people that got money, which is we go give back, help people. You don't care about anybody else black cause you're rich. And then when they do, we're like, not like that.
Right, you want to dictate what they do,
and it doesn't matter how they do it. It's just always like not like that. And I think the underlying feeling about it is that we are resentful of them for having been the quote-unquote chosen ones and making it and being successful.
And people will never admit that, but agreed.
And I think that's part of the problem is like, I resent you now. You have made it to a certain extent, and now your life is reflecting that you have made it. You've amassed this wealth. And so even when you do give back, I'm going to shit on how you do that. And even if you, like, I remember when motherfuckers were mad when Jay-Z said, my presence is charity. When he said, I don't have to be an activist. I don't need to do all that. Just me showing up at these events should be telling people, like, this is a cause worth investing in. Look, Jay-Z was there. And Harry Belafonte called him out, and people were like, yeah, Harry Belafonte, you got him, tell, you know, get on his ass. And then Jay-Z and Beyonce, they do start being vocal, they do give back, they change their music, they change their activism, they change the social media, they change their, like, the shows and the interviews they do, they change everything. And then you still got people finding a way to be like, but still fuck you. And I think that speaks to something inside of us, not them. That's something inside of us that's like, even though I know you trying, I gotta find a way to say fuck that too. And that's always been there. That's not some new shit.
Nope.
When it was Du Bois and fucking Booker T. Washington, like, it was always gonna be black people fighting each other about the best way to help black people, no matter what. It's historical, and that's fine. I'm not saying we all gotta agree. We obviously are not all gonna agree. But I find it kind of like telling that we don't know how to relax when somebody's trying. And I say this as a person that struggles with it myself, and I've been working on it. Like, you know, you can, if you've been paying attention to the show, you can hear it on the show. I'm trying to be less negative towards people that I think are trying. You know, because I think it's easy for me to be like, you didn't get that perfect. I don't agree with everything you said, so fuck you. But that's not how I really be feeling. Like, I'm not that kind of person to just be like, I agree with you on 9 out of 10 things, so fuck you. I need 100% agreement. You know, I'm trying myself my best to kind of reflect that in the way I evaluate people and be like, okay, I think this person might be kind of fucked up for this point, but I see how they got there, or I see what they trying to do. That doesn't mean I'm always gonna make it. Sometimes I literally just rub you the wrong way and you just can't help yourself, but I'm trying, man. So you don't see me talking about like Killer Mike and his fucking show or whatever. And I just don't, I'm like, what would be the point? He think he helping in the best way that he can help, and it's not like I disagree with him about black businesses or black people with the need to protect themselves. I think it's stupid to go on the NRA fucking thing, but he even said he shouldn't have did that. So, you know, he make mistakes like everybody else. You know, I'm trying my best to kind of like allow for that type of shit, you know, to a certain degree. It's not like I'm trying to be like, well, this dude be raping people, it's cool. Like, nah, I'm, you know, just in general, like, this person approached that differently than I would have. And I don't agree with it philosophically, but that doesn't mean I have to like cast them out as a person. And I think that's the difference, and that's what I'm kind of encouraging with Jay-Z, because like, it's not like I'm saying everything Jay-Z does. I wasn't walking around after that freestyle like he fixed racism, y'all. Like, I'm just like, that's his idea. He's a nigga from Brooklyn that was born in Marcy Projects. He made it out of life this way using these tactics, and he's trying to spread that shit to everybody else and say, hey, now we can give back to our neighborhoods and be better, blah blah blah. Maybe he's right. Maybe that helps one person. Maybe it helps 100 people. Maybe it doesn't help anybody, but I think he's trying to help. Anyway, Alicia says, I don't really fuck with Jay-Z, but I fucks with that freestyle. As a Southern Black woman, I never really related to him and his music much, but I love the part where he would rather have a wife to bounce these ideas off at night. Love y'all. Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. It took him a while to get there, though, didn't it? I remember him rapping the woe is me ass raps about how he can never be in love and he can never find somebody to love him because, you know, these women is just going to take money from him and he's just a, you know, he's too much of a hustler and he couldn't even cry on the song. So he got to make the song cry and all that shit. He's come a long way. And I think that's why I'm kind of partial to rooting for his growth, because I think his example of growth could help a lot of people if they pay attention. But I don't think people are really ready to let go of how they already feel one way or the other about him. You know, he either has to be this hero figure or he has to be this, like, I don't know, charlatan. And I'm like, maybe it's in between. Maybe he's just a person like us and he's confused and trying to figure it out like everybody else.
What?
Hopefully you get a chance to get old enough to be able to do that shit as well. And more importantly, hopefully people start seeing his example now that aren't his age, that are younger than him, and go, why wait my whole life to have this awakening?
Agreed.
You know, Monique says, I hope for Jesse's sake they don't let him back into the hellacious show. I think this is part of an exit strategy for the entire contract, including the music end. They essentially control when he can release his own original music. I didn't know that. I wonder if they still got that contract even if he don't get out of it.
Possibly.
Wonder what, how that works. I don't know. Episode 1890, Pad Thai Burritos. We have my man Kasim Bentley on, who dropped his album yesterday, Lakeview, on all streaming platforms. It's a stand-up album, a lot of crowd work, pretty avant-garde. So the comment was from EVE, who says, I kind of get why Pete Davidson might be sensitive about anyone bringing up Ariana Grande and Kate Beckinsale, because honestly they're much more famous than him. And the only time I hear his name is in connection to those two. I guess that would make a lot of people insecure when you're more famous for who you date than what you actually supposed to be famous for.
And what's so funny, that always happened to women and nobody gives a fuck. But for some reason, it's a man and he's fucking extra fucking sensitive. I don't want to hear that. You know, I mean, I'm not arguing with you, EV, but that's the thing. Tons of men be like, and this woman, and every time you hear her name, it's attached to him. Nobody ever has a problem with that. Nobody's ever, you know, I don't see these excuses. It's, oh, she's just supposed to deal with that. But when it's a man, he acting sensitive and showing his ass and leaving, I'm supposed to be like, oh, po you? No, bitch, you dated these famous women. You knew they was famous too.
That's a great fucking point, Karen. Yeah, I agree. Not that I don't want to feel sorry for him or anything, but I mean, yeah, it's kind of a thing.
That's a part of the gig. This happens to women all the time. They date and are married and divorced men that are way more famous than they are. And every time they go on an interview, people constantly asking them questions about their mate. Whatchamacallit? That used to date Kanye West. He did an album about her.
Amber Rose.
Right. Every time she comes up, they ask her about fucking Kanye West.
And then people get mad when you decide you don't want that anymore. But, you know, like, it sounded to me more like it was a miscommunication thing. Like, his team told the manager of the bar not to bring up those two women. And then the bar owner felt that he needed to tell the audience that. So it sounded like miscommunication. I think it's weird that he decided to not do the gig off of that, but you know, he got money and he more famous than people give him credit for. I mean, the nigga is on Saturday Night Live every fucking week and been there forever now. Like, he ain't exactly a nobody.
Right.
And he was famously dating Ariana Grande and he was famously, like vocal about it. They were gonna get married and all this shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can get how he might feel like, I wish this would go away, but it is kind of unrealistic to expect this to go away. I mean, shit, a lot of her fans became fans of him because they were dating. So
agreed.
I don't think this is the kind of thing where I'm not him, so it's easy for me to say, but use it in your act.
Yeah, and like I said, and it's no slight, but you know, if a woman would have did that, you know how many fucking articles would have been written about how unprofessional she was and how she couldn't handle the stress. Like, it wouldn't have been this empathy and sympathy, you know, for him, because it's a man, you know. And maybe that's just me, and that's that double standard shit that I constantly see when it comes to these type of things. But you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. If this would have been a woman, wouldn't nobody have been like, oh, they'd have been like, bitch, you better be professional to get your ass out here and tell these jokes, whatever it is we sign up for you to do.
Yeah, I guess so. And then the poll was, are you into Good Times Live? Yes, sign me up, or nah, I'm out. Karen?
Sign me up. I just want to see what's gonna happen.
All right, well, it looks like you're in the minority here. 39% of the audience says sign me up, and 62% says nah, I'm out.
I think it's gonna be a shit show, but I watch it.
And the last one was our recap show for them Game of Thrones, for them Thrones. We had guest JL Covan on for the recap. And we got 7 comments, and then of course we got many more emails. Law says, yo, this is the first time I was able to watch y'all live on the Crowdcast, and that was pretty dope. I think my biggest concern about this episode is that I have more Night King questions than I did before. Like, how is he fireproof? I knew the Night King wasn't completely weak to the heat of flames, but he took a whole ass flamethrower to the face, and I thought that shit was supposed to be super effective against their type. There are a lot of people complaining that Arya got the final blow, but I don't mind. Nobody can match him in brute strength, so take advantage of his arrogance by being more clever. Makes sense. For the Night King going through fire, some people think he might have been a Targaryen. I don't even think that's what it is, and I'm not 100% sure that being a Targaryen makes you fireproof, because somebody pointed out that Jon burned his hand before in another episode like a long time ago. So I don't know, man, if being Targaryen automatically means you're fireproof or not. I know Daenerys is. That being said, it could just be that his magic was that strong, man.
Right,
like his cold shit was just that impervious to that flame. Like, and
he was ice cold.
Maybe the other people that he created just didn't have that swag like him. Sean says, Arya using a similar technique to the one she used against Brienne to stab the Night King exactly where he was stabbed by the Children of the Forest, while Bran stared on thinking in a Spanish accent, I know something you do not know, she is not left-handed. It was a beautiful scene without references to the past Game of Thrones, but with the depth of the references to the 7 previous seasons, it was near perfection. Yeah, that was a thing when she fought Brienne. She had pulled that move out. Of course, Bran gave her the knife, which means if Bran can see everything in the future, he would have known possibly that that knife was going to kill the Night King. You know, it's just interesting to think about all the levels to this possibly that exist, you know, because of how they set it up. So, let's see what else we got. Miss 1KO says, JL reading Biggie lyrics in Cheeto's voice was so just wow, so appropriate. I like the horror element. They out Walking Dead, The Walking Dead. I was trying to stay away for the Crowdcast, but I didn't get the notification. I don't know how to fix that. I know it was lit in the chat. It was. And you need to go to your Crowdcast settings and allow it to send you emails that notify you when we go live. I'm only 15 minutes into y'all's review, but I had to comment. Dolores Ed was right. Your boy Sam got him killed. I too want a Dothraki prequel. Kenfolk raping, raping, cracking the fuck up. I don't think I want a Dothraki prequel. I'm gonna be honest, y'all. I know everybody misses Khal Drogo, but them niggas was some savage rapist motherfuckers, and
it was off the chain.
That's clearly gonna cross into some territory that none of y'all is comfortable reading the think pieces about. Okay, back to listening to y'all talk about the brown folks of Asia, Africa, SOs had to die instead of using their supposed expert archery skills so them northern hillbillies could live and Sansa can stay the Salt Queen. Though high key, I'm here for her becoming the new Lady Elena, Mimi. Anonymous says, I agree with y'all on the aerial attack before sending the Dothraki in. They also should have returned immediately to the castle where the snow blind, when the snow blind hit and perched on the wall and lit it up from there for a moment. They could have flambéed all those walkers, before they crossed the moat. True. I don't know if they could have got them all. It just seemed like the numbers were so ridiculous.
Numbers was ridiculous. Cause see, they have been traveling for a while. And remember when Tormund and them got there, John asked them about the Umbers. And he was like, look, anybody behind us, they got. So they was already big, and they basically any little city or territory or anything that they cross, they got.
Yeah, the question for me becomes, what happened to them Glovers? Because they said they weren't showing up, and I wonder if they lived and didn't come help battle, what the fuck is gonna happen to them? Because they gotta get their heads cut off for that shit. Agnes says, Dany still has some Dothraki left, probably mostly women and children though. Yeah, we were talking about the people that's gonna fight in the war, so no. When we say she don't got no Dothrakis, don't nobody care about the women and the children. We talking about them niggas on the horses.
I'm about the men.
We about to fight a war against Cersei, not have a fucking bake-off. It's a problem.
I don't have no cook-off.
Maybe the show would do a time jump because those dragons got wrecked and needed time to heal. Plus, who's going to clean up all those dead bodies? By the way, the giant that killed Lyanna Mormont was from Hardhome and showed up before the Night King did his resurrection move. So it couldn't have been 1-1 who died in Winterfell during the Battle of the Bastards. Yeah, everybody was saying that, but I'm not sure y'all right. That's all. I'm just saying it could have been different giant. I was waiting for them to show a white Hodor, but Bran doesn't give a fuck about anything anymore, so the emotional reaction wouldn't be there.
I think Hodor got shredded to pieces.
Yeah, I don't think we ever gonna see him again, but I would. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see him for the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Nice to hear JL, God of Impressions, back on the pod, but I wanted him to give a few Frank Castle grunts before signing off. Great show as always. Ah, oh, the Punisher would love this battle. Should have asked him how the Punisher would handle this. He would have killed it.
Yes!
Dia says, great recap of a great episode. I love your recaps because both of you enjoyed the show. I tried to listen to another recap for another show last year, and all they did was talk about how dumb the writers were, how stupid things were, and what they would have done. People who work on shows are usually very talented, very creative people. I like snark and constructive criticism, but I don't like mean-spirited critiques. If you don't like the show, fine, but I don't want to hear it, so I tune out the podcast that went to shit on the show for 60 minutes. Sorry for the rant, but I just have a soft spot for creators, writers, artists, and performers. Yeah, a lot of times that shit comes from like bitter ass, like people that want into the industry themselves, or they
agreed.
They're like, I'm a creative, and that gives me carte blanche to rip everybody's shit to shreds. And maybe it does. I mean, I think the creative process, when you look at it professionally, is way different than the way it's sold to us, you know, that aren't in it. You know, like y'all, yeah, like.
But I know it's hard work behind it too.
Yeah, but also just like writers talk about having their stuff ripped to shreds and presenting in front of a room and how critical it is. I think what happens now is with podcasts and the internet and social media and stuff, we're now privy to these harsh critiques from not behind closed doors anymore. Like for most of us, a book comes out, the book came out, that's it. We don't get the eviscerated version of the, like, and then we told yo book, you ain't shit, you ain't digging deep enough, this is stupid, take this out. Like, but we get that when you listen to a podcast, when you listen to you read a recap, and some people are just more harsh towards things. And I think we personally try not to cover stuff that we feel that harshly about.
Right. Not
because
that we don't,
it's not fun.
Right. Not that we don't feel that way, but I just rather cover things that I enjoy versus cover things that I do not enjoy.
Only one time have we done a recap of something we just, or at least me and Justin did not fuck with anymore. And that was, we were recapping True Blood. And, by the end, I mean, it was just us. Like, we tried to find fun and humor in it, but it just was not a good show anymore, and we were just like, I literally said, we're not recapping it anymore. And everyone wrote in like, no, please, man, y'all gotta recap this. And I remember when we got done, I said, that's the last time we're ever doing that on this podcast, because even with people finding fun in our jokes, because, you know, we're still funny, it just didn't do nothing for me.
Right, it's not enjoyable.
Like, I just kept thinking of how I wish I had quit this show. I think this is my favorite Game of Thrones episode. I did not have any problems viewing the show, and I'm glad for that. Everything looked great to me. I watched the episode every day since it aired. Yeah, someone told me a lot of that had to do with people watching on their iPads and phones and shit and tablets.
That will make versus a,
it was meant to be watched on the TV.
Correct. In HD, yes.
Yeah. Although, I mean, y'all have the HBO Go app. I mean, y'all should have thought about people at home using those tablets too, in my opinion.
Come on.
So that's on HBO for not fixing that. Excuse me. I think this is my favorite Game of Thrones episode. I was like you and had hope and optimism at the beginning of the episode when I saw those swords set afire. I was pumped. Question: why do people call John stupid all the time? Is this a bandwagon thing because no one ever can ever tell me specifically why he is dumb? I'm not saying he hasn't made mistakes. Every character has, but with John, I really just see someone who got a lot of lemons. I mean, a whole lot of lemons, and tried to make lemonade. I see bravery before stupidity. Okay, well, I am a person that thinks John be acting stupid. I haven't been saying that as much lately because I don't think he's been as stupid as he was before he died.
He's a lot smarter.
I really was rooting for him to die at one point because I was like, this is the dumbest character on the show.
He was too,
like,
honorable.
The show is so fucking treacherous, and he just keeps trusting treacherous people over and over. It was really getting annoying. And when he got killed, I was like, yeah, he should get killed. Everybody, like, you're literally doing the thing people hate in a place where everyone hates you.
Right.
So when he got killed, you know, I was like, not really sad. I was like, good. That's the heart of this show. This show normally punishes people for being, you know, noble to a point of fault.
Yes, they do.
Look at Ned. Look at Rob, right? That being said, when he came back to life, I feel like he hasn't been as stupid. Like, he's been very much like, hey, motherfuckers be killing people and I'm watching my back now. And he hasn't let it turn him into like some fucking like weak ass, fearful coward. Like, he's still brave. He still fights. He still is out there trying to make shit happen. But, yeah, so I feel like, you know, a lot of the hate towards him is probably, I don't know, people calling him stupid at this point might be just about people wanting to see Danny on the throne, or Sansa on the throne, or Cersei on the throne, or whatever. And so now people are picking sides, so you have to like really tear somebody down if you like somebody else. And I don't know if you guys are noticing our recaps, we're trying not to do that. So I know I make a conscientious effort to not turn the show into, let me tell you why this person ain't shit, and my person that I'm picking is the best. And I notice a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter and shit do that a lot,
right?
And just another peek behind the scenes, part of the way that we picked who's gonna be a guest on the show is we don't really want to do that on the show. We want to turn the show into jokes and fun and not a debate about why only the person you like should be on the throne, because there's no humor there. You know, last week I had to make fun of Sansa for not knowing how to work a knife. I'm team Sansa. I love Sansa. Sansa high, blah blah blah, but that's funny.
Yes, that is.
The joke is not the joke if you don't make the fucking joke, right? Like, if I come on here on Wednesday and I ignore that scene, whether you hate or love Sansa, that's kind of a betrayal of what we do at the show. It's kind of me being like, I need to protect this character. These are fictional people. They're not real. Mm-mm. There's no Westeros and there's no throne. So
no, it's not.
So all that to be said, like, John has done shit that's funny and it was stupid. I just don't find him to be currently doing stupid shit right now. So I don't know where people are getting that far from.
And the prime example, when he was seeing everybody and kept the trucking, old John wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, like that wasn't, yeah, when he, you talking about when Sam was about to die. And
yeah, Brienne, he looked and he was like, I'm on a mission. I can't help y'all.
Yeah. It is hard for me to hate these characters because the actors are so good. Have you watched the behind the scenes this episode? It was riveting. Nope, never watched behind the scenes, never read the books. Dia says, I forgot to mention my oxymoron to describe Tormund. He's an adorable creep. Thanks, Dia. And the last, the poll was, Did Theon redeem himself to you? Yes, he's all good now. No, he killed them kids, man. Or I never had a problem with Theon. Karen?
I guess for me, he good. Right. I don't have a problem with what with the way it ended. Because Lord knows, when he jumped off that boat, I was like, there was no way in coming back to me.
Yes, he's all good now. 62% of people agree with you. No, he killed them kids, man. 29% of people say fuck that. And 9% say I never had a problem with Theon, who I'm like, wow, y'all are some different type of folks, man. Burn them kids up. Y'all ain't had no problems, huh? I think I'm in 62% now. He died. He went out the best way you could possibly go out. It's over. Law says, man, Reek killed them kids. Him fighting for the living is what he was supposed to do. You don't get props for that, lol. Even Yara attacked him instead of thanking him. With that said, I respect the three-eyed Raven for not being petty about it, as Bran and I would have been. Clearly he needed those words. Sean says he killed them kids before he was Reek. His story went from being ain't shit to being a wretched reeking piece of shit to being not completely shitty to being an ain't shit asshole that had two moments. Redemption here is semantics, but he was useful in helping Sansa and defending Bran. Mimi says, I was not mad at his turn. Well, he saved his sister too. Mimi said, I was not mad at his turn quote isms against the Starks. He was a ward and his real daddy was like, don't you want.
Levin, they said he was a ward and his real daddy.
Yeah, his real daddy was great. The Greyjoy king that was like, you might as well be a Stark, bitch. I don't care that you fucked up Winterfell. I don't care about that shit. His real daddy was like, don't you want to come home? This is to be expected. But he killed and then burnt them little boys to show off he was in charge. This forever wax sauce. Him, Jamie, and Catfish Coochie. They mess with kids, so they got to go. Monique said, Catfish Coochie. You know who else? Didn't Cersei fuck the Lannister kid that reminded her of Jamie too?
That young boy that was part of that cult. She did.
Like,
Lancel, that was his name. Yeah,
speaking of fucking kids. Monique, that 11.3% that never had a problem with Theon is interesting, right? He wilded out and he took Winterfell and couldn't even establish himself as leader, and so he was pushed to a fake the death of Brandon Rickon, and then it was hell in a handbasket after that, and he reaped what he sowed, all that he sowed. The Really Dark Knight says, man, listen, like how a whole lot of y'all are in such a forgiving mood. Ask those burnt up kids hanging in Winterfell what they think about y'all's fave. As for me and mine, fuck that nigga forever. A good man would have at least made the Night King use three moves before he got himself killed. Basically, Night King was Allen Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue. That's what his no dick ass deserves. Fuck out of here.
No.
And EV says, Theon can eat a dick in hell. Yeah, I think I'm over it,
Let us know how y'all really feel.
I think I'm over it. I think him dying was the last. I was like, okay, there's really literally nothing more you can do.
Mm-mm.
You know, bye, homie. So, let's get to, I think we have a couple voicemails to play. Let's see. This is from Tuesday. Voicemail line, of course, 704-557-0186. And you can leave voicemails as long as they are 2 minutes or less, because the machine cuts you off when you get to 2 minutes.
Karen and Rod, can I just say how elated I am that you guys have been introduced in my world on a weekly basis now. I can't do it on a daily basis, but I did see you on HBO, Dem Thrones. I am a huge fanatic of Game of Thrones, and I am just so elated that I am a part of your world now, or actually that I have the luxury that you have been ingratiated into my presence on a weekly basis. I just wanted to take the time to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. This is what I needed in my life, and I will be subscribing. So thanks to HBO for introducing me to something that I clearly was missing and didn't know I was missing until I have it. And now I'm hooked like crack, honey. So thank you so much. I am grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Glad you're here, baby. We don't, I think we just happy people listen. Like, we know it's some people that's gonna listen every day, and we know it's some people that's gonna dip it. We don't take it personal. We just glad you're here, baby.
Right. We're gonna miss you after Game of Thrones gone, but hopefully you check in every once in a while. She also left another message a little bit later, in the day.
Hey, Karen and Rod. So I just signed up on PayPal, created an account on PayPal, inputted my credit card information and subscribed, and got a confirmation from PayPal that my subscription should be active. But then when I go back to your website, the blackguywhotips.com, it says that I'm not registered.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta email me for that. Yeah, email me, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. If we have it, I probably already fixed it. You probably already have emailed me. But, mm-hmm.
But if you haven't, we got you, baby.
Sometimes PayPal will fuck up. So, yeah, we'll take care of it for you. No problem. And thanks to HBO for hooking us up. Vice, a lot of people found us through Vice. Alright, and this is the last one. When was this? That's December 8th. So this is today. Okay. Yesterday at 8:42 last night. So one more voicemail and then we'll be done.
Hi, my name is Tanya. I'm a long time listener. I'll try to keep it short. I think it was episode 1186 or 1886. I can't remember. At any rate, you're talking about, talking again about how, our interactions with each other and how scary and different they can be when they're online and, how we react. And I was thinking about how a few months ago I, blocked somebody I had known since high school. We haven't seen each other in person in years, so apparently it wasn't that big a deal. And you had me thinking about that, like, was it that big a deal? And probably not, but, you know, I'm guessing we just moved on. At any rate, I am a socialist, but I'm also a realist. And as a black woman, you kind of can't help but be. Anyway. I was thinking about how all the talk about money and how you have to have that sort of genius. Sorry, I'm kind of sick, so I'm fighting through that. I'm hoping this records properly. If not, I'll try back a little later. I'm just headed home from work. You have to have that Beyonce balance. No, she's, everybody gets after her for capitalism. But I don't know. She's got something with how she's using money for her ideas. I'm going to end it if it hasn't cut me off already, and I'll try later. Thank you for thank all you. You do, you guys. Love you.
Thank you. And, yeah, a couple of things you brought up. Like, yeah, sometimes I think about that, too. Like, I have a lot of... I just have one of those brains that goes over, like, conflicts and people that I've, you know... like either fell out with, especially if I know I'm in real life. I've had to change a lot of my perspective though, being quote unquote very little but internet popular is different than forging real relationships with people. And
agreed,
you know, when those things get put to the test, a lot of times you realize like you can only invest so much time in something that's not really real all the time. Mm-hmm. Right, like and you know, and I think also like because of social media stuff, we have so many shortcuts.
Right. Something that normally would have taken time. The internet condenses time. Mm-hmm. And what people fail to realize, you can't push past time because time will tell the truth about anybody, any relationship or anything in your life. Only time will tell. And if you've condensed something and try to bypass time and the relationship lasts long enough, time will tell if the relationship was real or if the relationship was not, because something will happen, a conflict, a fallout, disagreement, something will happen to let you know where this relationship, whatever the relationship is, where it stands for both parties. And for both parties it might be important, for one party it is, for one party it's not, then for both parties it really wasn't that important, but only time can tell you that.
Yeah. And I just, the thing I always worry about or hesitate about or think about is just this, the callousness with which we can get rid of each other. It doesn't feel right. And I think, the ability for people now to find their words, to create their own narrative that assuages any level of responsibility from them is so scary to me, because we're so smart but we're still the same dumb human beings we always were, right? So we have bigger words, we have flowery language, but do we really have the emotional maturity, or do we just now have the words to express our emotional immaturity in big language, right? And I've been on both sides of that, right? I've felt or done something petty and then been like, this is how I feel about this shit and this is why I'm right. And I go back later and revisit it, and I'm like, I wasn't even really right about that shit, or, you know, maybe I was, you know, whatever. And I've been on the other side where somebody is just like lighting me up or creating their own, like, this is what the real problem is. And, you know, and I'm over here on my side like, you're lying to people. This is not what happened. This is, you created your own reality that is not warranted, because you're seeking this approval on the internet. You're seeking all this stuff. And then even the process of like seeking counsel, seeking confirmation from people online, we don't know them people.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what is this confirmation really gonna do for us? Like, so I don't know. There's just a lot of questions, and I know we continually talk about this all the time, but it's one of the most important, I think, conversations that we have going in society right now, is this role of this new tool that is in our lives. And anyone that denies the power and the presence of social media is either in the Stone Age or a fool, because yeah. I mean, literally this shit changed the course of the American election. So anybody that, you know, maybe people get tired of hearing us talk about it, which is fine. There's plenty of shows that talk about other things, but I'm always going to be obsessed with it, because especially doing what we do, we need it to live, but we also have to be wary of the hooks it can get into you, and being on both sides of that. So, and the second thing you brought up about socialism and capitalism and all this stuff is interesting, right? Because people shit on capitalism, but a lot, and I'm conflicted because I'm black and I'm in America. I don't worship capitalism.
Mm-mm.
By any means, and I absolutely understand the downsides of it, but at the same time, this rigged system is the system we have at the moment,
right?
And to be in denial of that isn't necessarily empowering to me. So we may need people that have money to make changes in a society that is based on the currency of money. And maybe those changes will be better and work, and maybe they won't, you know, but I don't know. I don't penalize, especially black people, for trying to figure something out when it comes to this money shit, you know. And it's weird that people go up for Beyonce, go down on Jay-Z, and that's really more about liking or disliking a particular person, because they really be saying the same shit in a lot of cases. You know, just one's rapping it and one's singing it, you know? So, yeah, that's what I think about it. Karen, anything?
I think for me, I appreciate the way your mind ticks, because I do have compassion and empathy and sympathy, but I think our lines are in different places. Your line is a little further out. My line is like, oh, look,
talking about me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like when it comes to certain things, you're willing to go a little bit further than me. I'm like, oh no, bitch, we here, stop, I'm out, you know. And I will stop at a certain point, and I'm like, I'm not going any further than this. I've invested all I can invest. Versus you're like, okay, let me get to the point, but well, whatever, you're willing to exhaust and turn over all stones. And it's not that I'm not willing to, it's just for the fact that as I've gotten older, it's not that I've become cynical or mean or anything like that. It's just when I was younger, I got used and abused a lot, a whole lot. So my line is not as farther as yours, because I'm like, no, I've seen this before, and I'm willing to draw my lines. My rope ain't as long anymore as it used to be, and I will cut it off and be like, nope, we're not going any further here. If that means this relationship ends, it is what it is. But I know that I appreciate you for challenging me to actually look a little further and be like, hey, look a little deeper before you cut it off sometimes, because sometimes if you give it that fifth or sixth or tenth glance, you might realize that, hey, I might not be looking at it right, because a lot of times when people look at things, they're only looking at it from their perspective. And a lot of times your eyes are, you're looking at things through rose-colored glasses because you're only looking through things from your experience. You're not even considering the other person's experience, their perspective, how they view things, how they see things and stuff like that. So it challenges you to actually, well, challenge me to actually have more of it. I do have it, but to have more of it, because yeah, it's sometimes where I'm like, well, I'm glad you're doing that, but I'm not.
Yeah, nah, I totally get it. I'm learning to be more like that as well. Like, for me, I think I was giving people too many chances, you know, and trying to see things from people's perspectives too much sometimes. And that lead that, you know, especially like a couple of years ago when I was like, to be frank, like, that shit helped out the business as well, because I was like, I'm gonna say yes to things I normally wouldn't. I'm gonna say yes to people I normally wouldn't. And, you know, for the overall, I burned myself out in a big way, but I also got relationships I wouldn't have had otherwise. And, you know, I got, and I learned some lessons I wouldn't have learned, you know, and I'm glad to be learning these lessons on the small scale when these motherfuckers ain't shit, than to be like, wow, I really fucked up this contract with such and such, you know, or whatever. Like, to learn the lesson now is kind of the thing. And I think it really helped me to step into my kind of 2018-2019 mantra, which is like, yo, I'm gonna be so positive about myself, and I'm gonna be so affirming to myself, and I'm gonna be so you know, committed to like the things that I find to make my life better and improve it and mentally make it better. And those things have really flourished for me, and I so much stuff just took care of itself.
It did,
straight up, it's almost crazy how much it has taken care of itself. Like, people that were ragging our name just shut the fuck up, you know. People that were you know, harassing us just stopped. People that were spitting lies about us, I stopped seeing it, stopped hearing about it, because I don't look for it. And you're entitled to that opinion.
Yes,
you know.
Are.
I still remember a few years ago when I looked on like Lipstick Alley, the forum about it, and like my feelings were hurt. Like, oh, they don't like all the stuff from the show. I let it fuck with me, and I was like that. And I'm thankful for them, because they taught me something about myself. Like, oh, I'm basically like emotionally cutting myself. Like, there's part of me that was addicted to being hurt by these people. And so, because they deserve to have their, they deserve to be like, fuck this show, I don't,
yes,
like these niggas
do.
I don't like their attitude. They deserve to be able to say all those things, and it's not my business.
Correct.
And I took that into my personal life as well, and it's really enhanced everything about it. I feel like I'm a healthier, happier, fuller person, human being, while I do care about other people, I extend that caring to myself now, to be like, right, I care about how I feel. How I feel matters too.
Right.
You know, it used to be a time, and when I was pushing my shit aside to be like, how everybody else feels about me is what's important, the kind of manipulative people that really like look for those type of folks, they were in my life.
Right.
They were affecting my life. They were making me, I was getting ill feelings around folks. I was like, people were making me literally sick to my stomach, you know, and I'm like, where is this energy coming from? And I know it's such a like weird hippie thing to say, but that energy, I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was fucking my life up. You know, I was stressing me out about shit. I was, you know, not sleeping right, not, you know, having nightmares and shit like that. And I'm like, where is this energy coming from? And I don't feel that way at all anymore. You know, I was getting panic attacks and nerves from just interacting with certain people, because they were just that negative. And even when they weren't directly being negative to me, I was watching them be negative to other people, because it's their currency on the internet. It's how they live, is shitting on stuff. And so all that to say, like, you know, when it comes to that internet relationship stuff, I'm more careful about just even calling somebody a friend.
Agreed.
You know, there's a lot of people I'm cool with, but nah, we ain't friends. You know, because you start extending that type of language, and then motherfuckers start acting like y'all gotta fucking, I don't know, swap blood at the next, you know. It's like, nah, it's just, it's cool. Like, And I, you know, and I've always questioned, like, the people that have the, like, supernatural expectations of friendship. Like, I was sad and nobody gave me a phone call. I'm like, nigga, I'm not psychic. You know what I mean? I don't even have those abilities to be able to, like, I can feel someone's in need all the way in Portland or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, you have to own your own shit. We are all making it through life the best we can, you know? So those are just lessons I learned. And like I said, it helped me to cut things off too, mostly just out of, you know, focusing on the positive shit. And that doesn't mean every time somebody has a bad day, I'm like, fuck you, nigga. It just means in general, I have to stay grounded in, like, these are the things that feed me, you know?
Correct. I know for me, I've grown and learned, and I've challenged myself, which I try to do my best daily, to actually just be a better person. And part of being that better person, like you said before, and I agree with, is understanding the relationships and why we're quick to cut people off, why we're quick to not have as much patience, why we're quick to not want to be bothered with people when we would not want that extended to us. And I think a lot of times the end result of the internet actually affecting your real world life, your everyday life, you know, and I think that the internet has been a wonderful place for me. And like I said, some of my best friends that I have right now, I met through the internet. So it is not all bad, you know, but it's one of those things where the internet for anybody is very difficult to navigate.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this much too. I knew something changed in me when I'm having conflicts with people or something, and I'm just like, I'm not even interested in telling people about this motherfucker.
Correct.
Like, there was a time with the show and everything where I'm like, yo, this person did me dirty. I'm about to put this nigga on blast because fuck them. What, look how they are, people. You know, I'm gonna expose the world to these fucked up people. And, you know, I realized over the years, like, that's just my insecurity talking. Because mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do is have other people see this thing and go, Rod, you're not crazy. This person's fucked up, right? And I'm not saying I would never do it again. I mean, if a nigga pushed me far enough, oh, it's right back. Like, I'm definitely a fighter. I'm not a you just gonna lie on me and fuck my name up and I just take it type of person. And if people can't understand that, then they just don't understand me. I got a limit just like everybody else.
Agreed.
But in general though, there's people that, you know, I'm doing the favor to them to just be like, I don't want to talk about these things.
Right.
I'm not gonna drag my life down into this. I'm not gonna drag the negativity into this. I'm not gonna make my show about this. I'm not gonna turn something that's fun for people into a personal soap opera of me beefing with this other person or whatever. Or even really giving that person, putting them on my level, like, we're now we're equals in this problem. Like, no, I have to learn to be the bigger person and move on, because I'm already the bigger person. Like, it's not gonna be fair. If I say something, it's gonna be, why you picking on me? And if I don't say anything, they're gonna just continue to say, you know, bullshit to people. And you know what? That's just kind of the gig now.
Yes, it is.
Sucks, but that's kind of the gig. So I had to learn how to, like, fucking, like, you know, I had to learn how to navigate all that stuff. But I'm a work in progress like everybody else, and right. There was no blueprint for this shit.
It was no blueprint. And like you said, now for that, I think I have a little bit more patience than you in that particular area, as far as, you know, like pushing and those type of things. Because I'm a fighter too, but my fighting is very different. And the thing is, for me, when I put my dukes up and I say, okay, it's time for a fight, I'm the type of person that when I get to that, I was just like, you in trouble. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, nobody on this show's ever heard you do something like that. Mm-mm. So, I mean, we've been together forever and I don't know if I've ever seen you do something like that. So, right, I just don't think you would. Or it's just, I haven't ever seen it. If you would, but I don't think you would.
You know what? I've only had that happen maybe once in my lifetime, and it freaked me out and scared me so bad that I promised myself that I would never get to that point again. Like, honestly. So I was like, you know,
yeah.
What?
Mm-mm, well, mm-mm, yeah. Mm-mm. I'm, like I said, me personally, I'm not afraid. You and other people that I know in real life that are my friends that care about me talk me out of like going at folks before, and it's, and I'm thankful for it, because ultimately I end up being happier not keeping the shit going, you know. And if those people want to be stuck in that place, then they get to be stuck there, you know. But I didn't know that years ago. Like, there was times where I would have tried to solve it, you know. There's that thing inside of me that, as you said, gives people 10 chances. I'm looking for a resolution, I'm trying to talk to you. And it wasn't really until the last couple of years I learned, oh, some people, when they act up like that and they're just, they go from 0 to 100, from you're the greatest to you're the worst, hey, you know what, you just gotta let them go sometimes, you know. Like, it sucks. These are not your real people, and you need to go find your people.
And that's a process that's learned over time, and also just life and life experience, and me dealing with people kind of a little bit of everywhere, and just having these conflicts with people over and over again in various different ways, taught me that lesson, taught me that, hey, in certain situations, I cannot give you the attention, because that's what you want. Because as long as you get the attention, we are both right here.
Well, I think you just also are naturally predisposition to not be like that.
Correct.
I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, that's something I've had to learn. Like, I'm very much a give what you get type of person. Like, I'm a Libra up and down. If you are nice to me, I will be nice back to you. Even if I don't really like your ass, I'll still be cordial to you, because that's the kind of person I am. I'm put the same energy back towards you. But if you start fucking with me and mine, it's hard for me to let that go. It's hard. Like, it's cause I have a sense of justice. It's like, this shit ain't right, and people should know how you get down. Like, you wanna, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is part of me. That is always gonna be in me. And, you know, and then it just, when you get to a certain station, and I'm not even saying I don't even feel like we blown up or none of this shit.
Same.
But just when you get to a certain station, it's like, that's not productive.
Right.
Cause now I'm making my thing about your thing. I'm making my life about your feelings. And that's not fair to me. That's not fair to the people around me. And it's definitely not fair to our audience, you know, to do that, you know. And then there's also the added element of, and this is, you know, when that Firestarter shit happened, there's a lot of people that just want to see a fight. They don't actually give a fuck about anyone being right or wrong.
Nope.
Who's involved. They just want the entertainment of watching people tear each other down. And to resist that impulse and to be adamantly against that, I mean, there's going to be people that's going to try to goad you into it. And that's one of the main things I learned from that situation. We're learning. This is not a blueprint.
Right.
This business did not exist. Like, what we do for a living did not exist before, you know, we started really doing it the way we do it, you know. People still don't think we should be this doesn't make sense that we're able to make a living doing this. So yeah, I don't have all the proper things and stuff, so, but we're learning, you know.
Yeah, that's the same. Learning and growing and evolving, and everybody seeing us grow, they seeing us learn, they seeing us evolve, they're seeing us change. Like, we're literally a work in process in front of everybody else,
right?
And which, so, most people get to do it in the privacy of their own homes.
Yeah, we had to learn, you know. Someone brought up in the chat, that's why the Shade Room doesn't post positive shit. Yeah, I had to learn that there's places where if they're talking about you, it's not gonna be good. So why would you even want to know? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, at some point you just have to be like, okay, cool. This is a different aspect to my life that I didn't think I would have to deal with, because I never pictured myself doing what we're doing. So,
agreed.
You know, just trying to learn to step into it. And a lot of times, them negative people, they don't be wrong, because they see more for your life than you see for yourself. And I know that's been the case with me in many a time. I don't have big dreams and shit. So, like, you ain't never shitted on me by being like, you ain't as popular as you think you is. Like, I don't care. I wish I was a little less popular, to be honest with you. It's a little too much right now.
Nigga, like, I was surprised I got this far.
Right. Like, so, you know, that ain't never been no insult to your boy. You just don't know me.
That ain't never been aspiration.
Yeah. I'm not sitting up here like, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeVille. You know how fucking uncomfortable I was with cameras in my house for two times? Knowing this shit is going out to the world? I just made it look cool. Like, I made it look like I wasn't freaking out. I was freaking the fuck out. Like, sitting up here like, yo, this shit could be horrible. I don't know. I hope they do us right, you know? All right, we got to go to the next session real quick, and we'll come right back. And also, all right, and we're back. But, yeah, so, and it's all a learning process. But, yeah, I often think about social media shit, because that's a lot of interaction that I have that takes up more time and stuff, and I'm trying to find ways to make it take up less, and I've been really doing good with that. So, but it's still something to think about, because I just think of how it's going to affect the world. And I bet me and Karen and y'all listeners and all, we're just a microcosm of this thing that's going to affect the rest of the world. And so much of just the things we talk about happen on social media now. How many times something makes news and it's a celebrity, or it's a riot or a protest, or it's the president of the United States. Like, this is not a thing you can just ignore or be like, oh, these motherfuckers talk about social media. It's shaping the fucking world. You should be talking about it too. Agreed. You should be paying attention to what's happening. It's not, it just because you're ignorant to what's happening doesn't mean it's not affecting you.
Right. And then it won't impact your life in some way, shape, form, or fashion with laws that are passed on all the levels.
All right. We had some emails, and they're all Game of Thrones related. And this is the last thing, and we'll get out of here. Iman says, hey Rod and Karen, straight to the point, I'm exhausted after watching the episode. What the hell, Brand, hold on, I have to record this. White eyes, rest in peace, little lady Mormont. You were the bravest and a real one. I had a single tear rolling down my face when she died. Take Sam instead. Aww. 2, glad Theon is dead. 3, okay, come through Arya. Clap emojis. That's what I'm motherfucking talking about, girl. I was so scared. You my nigga, Arya, always and forever. Night King Slayer.
Come on.
I'm never rewatching this episode. I feel like I ran 10 miles. It was amazingly shot and scripted, but never watching it again. I stopped breathing too many times. I love y'all. So many damn emotions. Iman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Iman. And yeah, that's pretty much how I felt watching it. LaShonda writes in, the doctor. She says, Game of Thrones feedback. Y'all are going to cover this well. Wait, hold on, let me move this over to the side. Y'all are going to cover this well. So I'm not going to write a novel. This was, yeah. Thank you for having faith in us. Okay. Some people write in these long ass things. I'm like, did you not think we would talk about it? This was a great episode. I did not see this ending with Arya being MVP the way she was, but in hindsight, it made sense. Brute strength, which is where everyone else was coming from. Danny with the dragons, John with his experience, Brienne and Jaime, Tormund, Jorah, all battlefield warriors, is never going to win this. That was basically cannon fodder and re-up troops for the Night King. Arya stealthy ass, having learned from seasons 1 how important it was to move like a cat, being told by Melisandre either season 2 or 3 how she would close all the eyes, and that callback being brought back here, it was wonderful. Also, did you see that fool grin? I know you saw the Night King grin at Danny and Drogon, like you hit like a bitch, but I wasn't ready for him to grin at her. Yo,
he smirked.
He smiled so hard at that motherfucking dragon.
I thought you got me.
I was hurt. I was like, oh god, no, this is the scariest shit I ever seen.
I'm like, oh, y'all about to die. Freddy just showed up.
He smiled like Kawhi Leonard, like he had never smiled before in his life. Anyway, all that said, rest in peace, baby bear. She went out like a real one. Also, what's next? Cause they got maybe 30 people left in Drogon. I hope Rhaegon is okay, but he dropped John off after being shredded by Viserion, and we ain't seen him since. Yeah, I think he's fine. Okay, go stop now. Love y'all to bits. I think they not, them dragons obviously gonna need to heal, but I think they're alive and
they're flying. Yeah, one of them dead.
Yeah. Game of Thrones battle at Winterfell. Oh my god. Hi Rod and Karen. This is Adrian. Happy day after my heart has been torn out and dragged through the winter storm day. I saw Avengers Endgame on Sunday morning and watched Game of Thrones the same evening. That was not wise. Though it was like ripping a band-aid off fast. The pain is all at once with a lingering sting. I wanted to write you last week, but really only had one thought to share. That it seemed like Tormund and Tyrion had become the comic relief, which I was unhappy about. Well, they weren't comic relief this week. I couldn't tell if Tormund even lived. I hate how he persists with Brienne, who was clearly not interested. But after last week, if he lives this week, I'm hoping she gives him a chance. I think it's kind of funny because, like, clearly Tormund is there for humor. Clearly his affection for Brienne is for humor. We're supposed to feel like it's harmless and cute. And I can see how some people would feel like annoyed by it because of just real life shit. But I'm allowing this show to just, hey, y'all wanted to be cute, I'm gonna treat it like it's cute.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, the last episode, there was no jokes when he looked and Juror was riding back looking like he had just seen death in the eyes. All the jokes was gone.
Fuck Theon. He doesn't deserve redemption and Bran's forgiveness and uplift. Just fuck him. I'm glad he's dead, finally. I'm also glad he's dead. That was as far as they could take that character. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He wouldn't go no further.
You know Lyanna Mormont had to be among the death toll, but she took out an undead giant. That was a fitting death. What a badass. And finally, onto the best badass in the series, Arya, my sneaky girl Arya, who snuck past the entire Night King's army to kill him. I cheered and clapped. I started reading the books in 2008 and she's been my favorite character since the beginning ish of book one. So awesome. Looking forward to hearing your recap episode. Have a lovely week. Thank you.
She snuck in there like she got help from Dr. Strange making them circles.
Woo, hashtag them thrones. Monique writes in, hey Rod and Karen, we made it through. Random thoughts here. That might be the most hyped episode in the history of TV that completely exceeded its expectations. When is Arya Stark gonna announce her candidacy for president of the United States?
Right, Democratic Party. Might as well throw a hat in there. Got 45 people already in the mix.
A girl will get the votes. Who's a bigger name than Maisie and Beyonce right now? The worldwide appeal of the show and the moment of killing the Night King makes her a rock star everywhere she goes. It's so deserving. Since season two, she's been carrying her own plot line masterfully. She seemed terrified at facing the dead initially because anyone would, but she got out of that hall using all her Metal Gear Solid moves.
Come on.
That's a good call. Can we talk about the Night King had the bag soundly secured and somehow squandered the realm? Shaking my head, gotta replace that 28-3 Falcon Super Bowl disaster, fucked his bag up. Yeah, the thing I think people don't understand is like, the Night King taking so long to kill Bran was basically him pulling the Oberyn.
Yeah, right, gloating. That's what that was.
He was moving mad slow to kill Bran.
They was just filming a rap video and everything walking up in there.
Right. He was just cruising. Like he could have just ran up on that man and slayed him
instantly.
Instead he was doing that. I have no dog in the race, but the juxtaposition of Dany almost dying to save Winterfell time and time again while Sansa was in the crypt throwing dirt on her name was stunning. One time comes to mind, what kind of queen am I if I'm not willing to risk my life for my people? Woo! Sansa, it's your move, sis. That episode applied maximum. I think Sansa is absolute key to defeating Cersei, so I cannot wait to see her game plan. No one knows Cersei like Sansa. She is a superior tactician.
Agreed.
Plenty of strength, sis.
Agreed. I think that after this, I think Sansa, my guess is that Sansa will soften about her and be like, you know what, you deserve it because you was out there. I was back here with everybody else. You was out there, and if it wasn't for you, everybody would have died. And so I really do think her perspective would change. And yes, she knows Cersei better than anybody else.
Yep. I mean, I'm just rooting for all the good people, man. Especially this last season, I'm just not into like team this one person versus that. So for me, I'm like, you gonna need Dany and Sansa, hopefully. You gonna need Arya and Sansa. It's not just gonna be, you know, you gonna need Jon and Dany. Like, I hope it's not just gonna turn into, and then they all turn on each other and the shit is whack. Like, nah, the Cersei is in power. Y'all have less numbers than before. You're recovering from battle. Bronn is on his way to kill Jaime and Tyrion. Like, motherfuckers need to get information.
Mm-hmm.
The plan to protect the exterior of Winterfell, was great to start out, but what on earth was Dany and Jon supposed to be doing? LOL, I facepalmed when there was no one to light the trench, even though I felt like the trench wouldn't work. Dany and Jon should have been lighting the army up front and back of the trench. They extinguished that fire by just laying over top of it, but who would have known? Did it seem like the Night King did some hand signal from White Viserion for the whites to sacrifice themselves?
He did.
I think he was warging them. I don't think it was a hand signal. I think he controls shit the way Bran does, but just on a bigger, masterful level.
Oh, right. Like, he could see things through their eyes, right?
Yeah, I think he was just directing them or some shit. It felt like Jon chased the Night King on foot for like a mile in a feeble attempt to get pinned down by the ice dragon.
Running like a mile.
That nigga ran so long, and it was all in slow motion to that piano. Oh, God. That's one of the greatest scenes. in TV history. Oh man, just reliving it, I'm getting all like worried about this nigga again, because I was like, everybody gonna die. The red woman hit everybody with the Magic Johnson shit. I ain't finna be here tomorrow, y'all figure it out. Our Dothraki horde is gone, most of the Unsullied are gone, all the POCs fought and died for the people of Winterfell. Maybe they will stop giving them the racist Clint Eastwood stare now. So very ungrateful. The way the Unsullied had their tight formations to help the forces retreat, stunning. Speaking of gratitude, the actor that played Grey Worm, Riley Ritchie, is a musician, has a really dope song called Time in the Tree. The Black Collective should hit him with some streams. Truly glad he and Masandi made it to the next episode. That was really all I was rooting for.
They gonna retire in Florida.
Yeah.
Or Atlanta.
I was really mostly rooting for them two niggas to live, so everything really turned out okay. I'm glad they got the Night King or whatever, but I just needed Masandi and Grey Worm on that beach. The fight for Sir Brienne of Tarth rages on. Who's gonna win her love in the end? Yeah, neither Jaime or Tormund died, so that can keep going. Question: now the Night King is gone, if you were the Starks, would you trust Jaime to stay with your side and not double cross you and go back to Cersei? I mean, yeah, and I think also when Bran come up there and try to kill them niggas, it's gonna be quite obvious what side they have to be on,
right? Because like, I think everybody gonna learn at the same time that you switch sides. And I think him leaving without their army, people underestimate how much that spoke to Cersei, and at that point she was like, fuck you.
Well, Brienne had his back in front of everybody, vouching for him,
right?
And then there's the other part where, like, I think they're gonna have to do something that shows everybody that Cersei, like, is not fucking around. So I think maybe, like, Bronn trying to kill them or something would be the, like, ultimate, like, oh, we don't even need to question their allegiance, you know? But I don't know. I mean, I would hope that that would be the end of it. I mean, they did fight them niggas together. Well, I don't know what else there is to do.
I mean, he was prepared to die.
Yeah. The Citadel has a heck of a battle to detail. They need to give the legends their flowers. Lady Lyanna killed a giant white. Arya killed the Night King. Dany wielded a sword and stood tall. Sir Brienne commanded those forces. Winds all over the place. Overall, the fire shots were stunning in the ground battle. Amazing shot of the dragon flying above the clouds. This is all more than worth it. I feel for those who don't watch yet, complain while fans of the show are having the time of our lives. Yeah, be safe and sound, you too, Monique, aka Cam Doc. Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. I was thinking the other day, like somebody had used our hashtag on Twitter and said something fucked up about the show or whatever. And or not even fucked up, they just were like, oh, I don't really like this, Rod mumbles sometimes and the it's kind of boring or whatever. And I replied back like, look, you know what, thanks for giving us a chance.
That's how I feel.
We're not for everybody, and you know, hey, totally get it, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of other shows for them to listen to, you know. And then another person hit me up and it was, I forget what their complaint was. Oh, it's like, you probably gonna say stop listening, but I don't like this, that, and other. And I said, thank you for giving us a chance, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I gonna say? You didn't have to listen even a little bit. You did listen,
right?
And you found it not good, so cool. And and then I thought about Game of Thrones this morning, and I was like, some people don't like Game of Thrones and they adamantly be out here talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
Or they don't watch, right?
So who the fuck am I to be like, you gotta like the Black Gal Tips? Hey man, it's people out here that really not fucking with the best thing on TV. Somehow they find it to be not adequate enough in some kind of way. And I'm like, if it's people that can't like this shit, and it's hundreds of millions of dollars invested in this show,
come on,
then of course they don't like my little ass podcast. It's fine, we'll be good, we'll be all right,
baby, we'll survive and you will too.
Yeah, be all right. I ain't mad at you.
And you know what? And I cannot wait for Sir Brienne to walk around with her new title. When people start addressing her lady, she'd be like, check the name tag, bitch, I'm a sir.
Yep. Check the numbers, bitch,
come on.
Evie says, hi Rod and Karen. I must say that my only complaint the last episode was that it was hard to see because everything was so dark. But other than that, this episode was great. They did the Dothraki so dirty, but we expected a large casualty count, and there was no one in that group who particularly stood out at the Khal Drogo. The good news is Sansa doesn't have to worry about feeding as many people after the night.
She sure don't, baby.
Yeah. And I still feel like maybe I'm the only one, but I felt like the dark helped. But also, I did watch it on the TV. It's 4K. It got the whatever, you know, settings and shit. So maybe my shit really wasn't as dark as other people's. I don't know. I'm kind of glad, and I am one of those people that like goes into TV and fucks with the settings to get the perfect picture. Because what I don't like about the 4K TVs is they so dark. Just on the setting that you get when it comes out the box, because they have like whatever they call that dark, I forget what it's such a technical term, but they have that like complete black screen, the thing
as black as the black. Yeah,
so it's supposed to make other shit pop out, and I don't watch anything that black, so, and I don't like to because I can't see shit. So like when I would play Netflix on it in 4K, it'd be dark as fuck. I'm like, who want to see this? Like, this ain't, I didn't pay extra money for this, so I switched the settings, so maybe that's why it didn't bother me. I'm glad most of the main characters survived, because I believe that the show has been working up to the battle for the throne, and I do believe there'll be a lot more casualties then. Rest in peace to Dolorous Edge, Sir Friendzone, Jorah Mormont, Beric. As for Melisandre, fuck you, you shriveled old bitch. You should have died at the stake like Shireen and Theon. Bye, nigga. Yeah, it's interesting, because Melisandre was definitely the MVP. Theon probably was co-MVP.
Yeah,
but that's just one battle. Y'all been doing some fucked up shit for a long time. And for the realest, Lady Lyanna Mormont, the North will always remember you for the G that you were. Let's pour one out for in her honor. What can I?
Because you know, she even said like her people had a strength of 10 men. She was like, it might not be a lot of us, but bitch, we can fuck shit up, and she proved it.
And they watched that gate. What can I say that hasn't already been said about Arya motherfucking Stark? I love that she was the one to take out the Night King, because I didn't see that coming. Everyone thought it would be Jon, but his dumb ass was trying to take out the whole Ice Dragon. Arya has been training for this moment all her life. Cersei, you going down, bitch. Die, Jaime, die. I wish you would have died. I hate you. You are a piece of shit. Fuck you forever, Evie.
I think eventually Jaime gonna die. I don't know how he gonna die, but Jaime's gonna die.
I hope Bran is there in the corner just waiting on it. He just walk in the room and be like, what you doing here? And then he get killed, and Bran just like, I needed to see that. Lisa writes in, greetings, lady and lord of House Tips. I hope this raven arrives in time for the Game of Thrones recap. I started listening to you guys in season 6, and you never disappoint. Anyway, I'll keep this brief. Some things stuck in. You did not keep this brief, but it's fine, Lisa. I love when people say that. Like, I will try to keep this short. I'm looking at the whole email like, this is not short. Some things stuck out to me while reading everyone's hashtag hot takes on Twitter regarding Dany, Jon, and Bran being useless in the battle for Winterfell. Yes, Arya dealt the killing blow, but she needed help to get there. It was a team effort. Dany and Jon were able to kill thousands of whites on top of their dragons, injure the white Viserion, and go get the Night King on the ground so he couldn't do any more damage. Bran used his warging as a signal to allow the Night King to locate him. Plus, he gave the cat's paw dagger to Arya last season and knew she'd be the one to use it. Everyone who fought helped keep the swarm of dead men from overwhelming the castle. When Jon was yelling at the Ice Dragon, he was at the entrance of the Godswood. Some believe that he saw Arya and tried to create a diversion to allow her to get there, to get the Bran in time. Yeah, unless they confirm that next week, I'm not rolling with that's what happened. I've seen people try to do that, but most of the people that try to do that are trying to take away from Arya being the one that killed. Listen, Lisa, the fucking like agendas around this, I had no idea.
Like, they everywhere. Yeah,
like, I low-key just don't engage with people about Game of Thrones theories online.
Mm-mm.
I just stopped talking to them niggas. They are,
you
crazy
have to.
They are really crazy about this. They are mad that that girl killed. Arya has been a warrior since like season 1, halfway through she been learning how to fight. Like, why are they, matter of fact, season 1, episode 1, she was shooting the arrow. So like, it's just crazy to me that people really want to take this away from her because they had these visions of like John being like the white man savior of the whole world,
right?
And because he didn't get the killing blow on the Night King, all of a sudden they feel like he was usurped. They feel like he was not given enough like validation or whatever. And I'm like, this whole fucking show is about usurping the tropes. It's building you towards the tropes of fantasy and being like, but we not gonna do it just the same way. So I can't believe motherfuckers got so mad about it, but I think that's just the internet now. You got the Gamergate niggas like,
mm-hmm.
We hate women, I hate Captain Marvel, I hate, you know, everything that people like, I hate.
They out there to the extreme, and that's why, you know, the thing about the theories and stuff, I know people have their own theories and things like that, but the thing is, like, me and Roger talked about it, we know where we got our sources from, when, you know, but we don't know where other people got their stuff from. Like I said, people actually dig and find spoilers and things like that, and I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna argue with you.
Also, even if she did fucking do it by herself, and I mean, she has been living as a little girl in Westeros for in the most treacherous place for fucking ever, like, she might be able to kill a nigga with some quickness.
It's like they want no credit.
Yeah, I don't get it. Other random thoughts. I'm happy it was Arya, not Jon, not just because it's surprising and unpredictable, but also because of the reaction from angry misogynists. The term Mary Sue trended on Twitter right after. If you heard it before, you know the only female characters get this sort of treatment. Yeah, they tried to do it with Rey from The Last Jedi. I just don't. There's a whole point. There's a whole, like, contingent of nerd niggas I just do not talk to or fuck with.
Same.
They just are not valuable people. The Dothraki and Unsullied died protecting those racist ass northerners. I know it was ultimately a fight for humanity, but more black and brown lives are lost in the war numbers wise, and I've only seen black fans acknowledge that. Yet another reason I'm glad I found the Blackout Tips. I don't get this perspective from many other recasts I listen to. Yeah, they said all the niggas that die first, man. I was looking at them numbers like, oh, come on now. Like, somebody step up and, oh God, no, more niggas is dying. But you know what? That's just like every war in real life.
Come on, niggas go up front.
Message. Put all the black people on infantry and shit. Lastly, I love Sansa, all the shade and her pride in representing the North, but didn't she come off ungrateful regarding Dany? After this battle has finished, Dany has pretty much no army and only two injured dragons to fight against Cersei for the crown. I won't shame Sansa for not being able to fight, but the dragon queen she disliked so much was out there risking her life and her troops for the good of mankind. I hope we see her come to terms with that in the next episode. Yeah, but in all fairness, we also got to see what happened outside the crypt and she didn't. Like, she saw about 10 minutes of that shit and had to go inside, so she don't even know that Dany literally got off that dragon, was whooping people's ass.
Mm-mm.
So
she gonna have to end up telling her, hey bitch, I was out here fighting too,
right? So and I sincerely hope they come to some type of resolution, because I think it's stupid,
right?
Like, it really, like, it's stupid in the terms of, like, for the bigger picture of what they want, to see two characters I really value and like. And even John, I gotta throw John in there too, because John is gonna be the whole, he got a claim to the throne because he's a secret son of Aegon Targaryen. Like, all that shit to me is not that important, and I hope these last three episodes they come to some conclusions about that, and that is not them killing each other or being shitty to each other. Hopefully it's them being like, nah, fuck Cersei. We can talk about all this shit in the aftermath, but fuck Cersei.
I agree, and I think John's gonna be like, hey, I don't want the throne, I support you. Like, eventually they're gonna have a talk and he's gonna be like, you know, I don't want that title, right?
Lastly, I love Sansa. Thanks for reading my ramblings. Lots of love to you too, as always. Wiz Khaleesi, aka Blackness Everdeen, from Beyond the Wall, Canada. Thank you for writing in.
Peace.
Lisa. And I think we have one more left. Let's we got one more from Ashanti. What up, Karen and Rod? Long time since I dropped a little feedback, but it's them Thrones time. Shout out to Firestarter, and I got to get these words in. So you won't be up all day. I'm going to be quick with these. Rest in peace to my nigga, the Night King. I was rooting for you, Tyra Giff. I was looking forward to seeing how you would have decided to deck the halls of Winterfell with the bows of all our faves. You fucked up, taking your sweet ass time trying to kill Bran.
Come on.
And now look what happened to you. Arya bust your ass down to the slushy, my G. Now you let this happen. All right, y'all crasters, bastards, incest babies, I see why you lost. That's true. Mm-hmm. There is incest babies. Rest in peace to OG, triple OG, Liana motherfucking Mormont. Baby girl called on her ancestor, Lady Sharkeesha of House Old Bitch You Thought, and took down the Leviathan. Pulls one out for the homie. Rest in peace to Dothraki Squad. Your death was as beautiful as it was terrifyingly and painfully stupid. Why Danny and them thought putting your asses up front was a good idea just to come back 10 times, I'll never know. Rest in peace. That's one of the things I do wonder. How would Danny's own troops look at this? Like, yo, you, a lot of us died for this bullshit. This ain't even our fight. Rest in peace to my nigga Ed. Sam got you fucked up. Haunt him good, Ed. Rest in peace to Melisandre. Her longer than a black church service on the first Sunday fire spells. Rest in peace to whoever thought one hiding non-combatants in the crypt was a good idea. Two, Winterfell couldn't be defended from within as a whole defensive fortress. Purposely built and designed to repel an oncoming foe intent to invade, but the troop put the troops inside the fucking castle of the goddamn battlements, stupid motherfuckers. Rest in peace to Gendry, Arya, the new Winter, and she coming for that ass. hope you got a traction machine, my dude, you gonna need that. Lastly, rest in peace to Ser Jorah. I don't know if you saw this, but it looked like his final words to Khaleesi were, girl, you know, yeah, he had that Lenny Williams. Died before he could get it out. Damn shame. Pulls out one for the Simp Hall of Fame. Yo, first ballot, unquestionable, unanimous decision, Simp Hall of Fame.
Come on.
Love y'all.
You ain't gonna have to go two or three rounds, but your name, it's time for your name to come up. We're gonna vote you in, buddy.
Love y'all. Ashanti PS, my mama got on Twitter just to hop on them thongs. I was seeing you her at side eye emoji. Oh, mama Ashanti on Twitter now. She got what, 3 more weeks and then them thrones is over. So I mean, she
probably won't see after that.
Shopped on kind of late, but hey, better late than never. All right, y'all, thank you so much for listening. That's it for today's show. We appreciate everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to y'all later. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.